This is Leading Lines. I'm Derek Bruff. When we started Leading Lines back in 2016, none of us on the Leading Lines team had much podcasting experience. I had produced a podcast for the Center for Teaching in the early 2000s, when podcasts were young, but podcasts have had a renaissance since then, and we were all excited to see what we could do with the medium as it has developed. One member of our team, Stacy Johnson, has jumped in with both feet. After producing a few episodes of Leading Lines, she used that experience to launch her own podcast, We Teach Languages, focused on language learning and pedagogy. Thanks to Stacy's creativity and energy, and the enthusiasm of the language teaching community, We Teach Languages has taken off. Stacy has released 66 episodes as I record this, and her Twitter account, We Teach Lang, has just shy of 1,300 followers. I'm super proud of Stacy and the community she's built around her podcast. She's less involved with Leading Lines now, which is a little sad, but she's doing great work with her new podcast, and I'm glad to share a bit of that work here on Leading Lines. In this episode, we feature an interview Stacy Johnson conducted for her podcast with Gabrielle Dillman, Associate Professor of German at Denison University, a small liberal arts college in Ohio. Gabriella is the director of the Great Lakes Colleges Association's Shared Languages Program. The program features language courses taught at one school in the consortium that are offered to students at other schools through virtual classrooms. This makes it possible for a school like Denison to offer upper-level language courses that are often under-enrolled, as well as less commonly taught languages that wouldn't ordinarily be available on every college campus. Gabriella shares the origin of the program, the challenges it has faced, the technology that makes it work, and the value it brings to language students.
Gabriella Dillman, I am so happy to have you on the show today. Thank you for making time in your schedule to meet with me.
Thank you, Stacy. Thank you very much for contacting me in the first place. I appreciate it.
Well, a mutual colleague of ours, Lee Forrester at Hope College, mentioned some of the incredible work you're doing and that you would be a great guest for the podcast. And so I had to follow up on that. Anyone Lee recommends, I have to follow up on.
Well, thank you, Lee. He has been a fabulous colleague in the Shared Languages program, too.
We're definitely going to talk about the Shared Languages program a lot. I was wondering if we could start by just hearing a little bit about the work you do, where you teach, who you teach, what language and level, that sort of thing.
Okay, of course. I teach German literature, culture, and language at Denison University, which is a small private residential liberal arts college in the Midwest. And in Ohio, outside of Columbus. And I've been teaching there for about 17, 18 years now.
That's fantastic. So one of the really cool things that you've gotten to do at Denison and with the Great Lakes Colleges Association is to work with the Shared Languages Program. I would love to hear about your work and what that program is and how it's developed.
The Shared Languages Program has been in existence for about 2.5 years now. It all started, I have to go back a bit in history to make it very clear on how this idea came about. Part of the Great Lakes Colleges Association is the Global Liberal Arts Alliance, which is comprised of about 13 or 14 now colleges all over the world. And these are our partner institutions with whom we as faculty can connect with like-minded faculty, and we can connect our students with their students for a more global intercultural experience. I jumped on the wagon right away because for German, we always, or for the languages in general, we always search authentic partners, speaking partners. I connected with the American University in Bulgaria, who has a German program, and my colleague Diana Stancheva and I hit it off really well, and so have our students. And so what happened is that we're now a fifth year now. It was supposed to be a one or two semester project, but we have ever since never taught without engaging our students with each other.
Wow, that's fantastic. So, yeah. I mean, there are a lot of programs now to sort of pay to get your students that sort of contact where you pay and they partner you with another class and your students get that sort of contact, but you just sort of organically developed it through your institutional connections.
Yeah, and what we did is we actually adjust our syllabi to one another so that our students don't just have, you know, a half an hour quick conversation experience, but they really get to know each other. It's built into the entire course. So it's the whole project starts with an email exchange that they have to do in German, of course, with each other to introduce themselves to each other. Then we, Diana and I, construct projects that engage both groups with each other. What we often do, I should say, is we ask our students what projects would interest them to do together. One semester, for instance, we came up with homosexuality in German film. And that was one of our best intercultural experiences yet, because we teach so much, you know, in a co-joined manner, and our students interact so collaboratively. And as technology over the last five years has, you know, improved tremendously, especially video conferencing platforms have become much more interactive. And, you know, so for instance, we started using Zoom, and that made a huge difference, because all of a sudden we could do desktop sharing, we could chat, you know, we would see each other in the gallery view as if we were together in the same space almost. We can share documents, films, clips, you know, and we can do breakout rooms. That means we can do pair work or small group work in the virtual space. And so I thought to myself, you know, this is fabulous. And if I can do this with Bulgaria, why can't I do this with our partner schools here in the Midwest, Kenyon or Worcester, you know, or Oberlin or Kalamazoo? And I thought, well, this is an idea that's worth pursuing. So I did pursue it with the GLCA as a consortium. And initially, the president told me that this was not really who we are as liberal arts colleges, because bringing students together virtually is not necessarily representative of the philosophy. Technology or virtual or online is almost a taboo word, the word online, because it's associated with this, you know, this MOOC movement that we saw a few years ago. And that's, of course, not what this globally connected and shared languages program connected environment with Zoom is like at all. It is not a big MOOC atmosphere. On the contrary, it is an atmosphere where the instructor and the students interact with each other virtually as if they were in a physical space. I have my office hours. I stay before, I stay after, I leave the room open, so to speak. And the only thing we cannot do is we don't smell each other.
So how long did it take for people at your institution to feel like it was working and this was a good decision? Or are you there yet?
Okay, so that's a very good question. So let me just go back to the point where, you know, the idea came of the shared languages across the consortium. Mm-hmm. And of course, the biggest hurdle initially was faculty buy-in. Student buy-in wasn't really so much of an issue, because students are very used to this virtual environment. I mean, you know, they even text each other when they're in the same space. In their dorms, they go next door. They don't go next door and knock on the door. They text each other, you know. So students are very open-minded to this environment in general. But faculty buy-in was a bit of a bigger issue. And let me perhaps say a couple things first. The shared languages program consists of two strands. It's trying to address two major issues that we have in the languages. One of them is upper level, under-enrolled traditional languages courses. That means, for instance, traditional languages such as German, which is the one we piloted in this project, does relatively well these days of attracting students into the elementary level German and maybe even the intermediate level. But we have fewer and fewer majors and minors, and thus the upper level courses are chronically under-enrolled. Now, some institutions do a little bit better in the consortium than others, but overall, one can say that this type of language teaching is not sustainable in the long run. We cannot have two full-time tenure track or tenured or full professors to teach a handful of students, to share literally five students with each other on the upper level in a semester. That's just not sustainable. It's not affordable. The other thing is, it's not quite fair to the students to, you know, sort of trap them. I'm sorry for this harsh word, but sort of trap them in a directed studies environment or independent studies environment with just a professor or just another student. That's not a course. Language learning relies heavily on interactivity, on speaking, on group work, working with others who speak the language. And with your professor in the office twice a week, that does not constitute a course. And, you know, I'm sure students still get a lot out of it, but for language pedagogical purposes, I don't think I need to explain why that is not an ideal solution. So the other strand is the fact that in our increasingly globalized world, students need to know languages that are not traditionally taught in their institutions. So for instance, especially in other fields like anthropology or sociology or in environmental sciences, students go to places to do projects where the languages such as Swahili or Arabic in some areas is also considered a less commonly taught language. And so not one school could afford to offer all these languages. But as a consortium, we can. So let's say, for instance, at Denison, we offer Arabic. We cannot offer it as a minor, but we can offer the first 2.5 years of language instruction. Now, that's more than most other schools in our consortium offer, and that is they, if they offer Arabic at all, they offer it only for maybe a year or maybe 2 years, but nothing beyond that. Now, there's a real problem with that, which is a true catch-22. Why would a student start learning a language that is so heavy upfront, like Arabic, learning a new script, learning a very different culture, very different grammatical system, and so forth? Why would they even begin learning Arabic when they know after a year they can't really go anywhere? And even 1 year, even if we argue that, well, they can always go study abroad in an Arabic-speaking country, well, 1 year just isn't enough. And so they don't start. And then what happens is that, of course, understandably, an administration will say, well, you have to show us first that you can attract students in your program before we give you a tenure track position in your department. So that's what I mean by the catch-22. Now we are in a very different situation with the shared languages program. So Hanada has been working with Kelly Tuttle at Earlham, who is an Arabic professor there, and Basam Al-Rabaa at Oberlin, and just recently Kusei Atabi has joined us from Kenyan. So now these students from these colleges can take Hanada's upper level course, and can take Kelly's upper level course, and they're no longer limited to just that 1 year or that intermediate level by sharing. Anada is currently offering the first semester course of the intermediate level, which is also amazing. That addresses students who come out of 1 year programs and they can continue. So eventually we hope to build a minor. Right now I'm working on a certificate for those students who have taken several shared language courses already. And then eventually we'll work on a minor. And I think that we can even manage a major without adding positions necessarily. We would benefit from at least one more tenure track position. So if the Erlem one was a tenure track position, that would be a dream, because then we could really build a major in Arabic. So that's the story of Arabic. And you asked me what were some of the hurdles for buy-in. For the less commonly taught languages, the buy-in from faculty was much stronger than from the traditional languages, and very understandably so, because the shared languages program is an immediate solution for all the problems I just described.
And honestly, it occurs to me that the shared languages program is responding to a crisis moment, but this is something that would have been beneficial for us all along. The reality of a small liberal arts college is, even if you have sort of a robust upper level language program, you're probably going to bounce back and forth between the same, as you mentioned, two professors or three professors who are teaching those upper level classes. And you don't get a wide variety of perspectives when you take upper level courses. And the benefit to students just to be able to see what's happening at other institutions and get different perspectives and participate in other classrooms just seems so tremendous. It's right. Unfortunate that it took a crisis for us to get here, but it seems a really good place.
Right. The other aspect, actually, what you mentioned, when there are only two faculty members, let's not forget there are some programs that only have one faculty member.
Right.
Period. And so those students don't know any other German faculty member than that one colleague. Now, these are often extremely engaged colleagues because of that. But of course, you know, they can also get a little lonely. They don't have colleagues either in their field. Right. And this is another thing that's so beautiful about this program, is that it also gives faculty a community who otherwise wouldn't have one. Well, especially in the less commonly taught languages, most programs, most schools are run by one person if they have a less commonly taught language offered at all. And so this program also addresses professional development for faculty members. It helps, like I said, faculty to feel like they're part of a community. They exchange ideas. For instance, myself, with my global partner, we have published several articles together. We have created research projects together. And we see that happening in the shared languages program too. So that's another very positive aspect.
And that's already reflected in the story you told of how Arabic built their community through shared languages. These individual faculty members at different schools who most of whom are not tenure track, is that correct?
Right. For the less commonly taught languages, not only are they not tenure track, but they're also often just part-time temporary colleagues, which of course is also an issue, because then there is no continuity that's guaranteed. The other thing too is, so for instance, I'm not a linguist, but my colleague Lee Forrester at Hope College is a linguist. And sometimes we have students who would love to study German linguistics. I'd be hard pressed to offer that.
Right. And
why should I, when we have a perfectly qualified, great colleague and teacher who can offer that? And that's exactly what Lee Forrester at Hope College is doing this semester, this fall semester. And two of my German students at Denison joined his course. This way they get the breadth and depth in an area that they are interested in and are not just simply stuck with the limited courses that one program can offer.
That's fantastic. Well, this has been a really fascinating conversation. I think there have been several guests on the podcast who have talked about ways that they are innovating to make sure that they're keeping their enrollments up and keeping students interested in the content. And this is just such an innovative approach. And I like that it's also very community oriented and collective, that you're not on your own trying to figure out how to solve your college's program. You're working with a consortium to solve everyone's problems. I love that.
Yes, it does take a lot of logistical work. One of the reasons is that our 13 colleges are not all on the semester schedule.
Mm.
We do not share the same course grids. So we have very different cultures on the different campuses. But overall, we're close enough to where we can make it work. It's the hosting college's schedule that will be binding for everyone else who wants to take that course, just as if you took any other course outside of your college, right? So far, this is our second year, and we're offering another round, another set this spring semester. I have to say, our registrars have been absolutely fabulous. They have been so engaged. The students do not pay extra to take these courses. The students get credit from their own institution for the course that they take through the shared languages program at another institution in the consortium. So this is truly a collaborative project across the entire spectrum of any college. So logistics can be a bit of a challenge, but I think we've managed well with that. The other thing we have to keep in mind, and this is, of course, always the biggest question, what does it take to make this happen in terms of technology? Not everybody is, of course, familiar with what an interactive, virtually interactive teaching environment looks like. And like I mentioned in the beginning, some people are very hesitant to even think about it because they associate it with distant mass learning and without the proximity of the professor. So technology, the technology question is a big one. Let me just briefly describe how simple it is, which is the beauty of it all, which makes this entire program happen in the first place.
Great.
We don't need fancy Zoom room. We don't need a fancy classroom, fancy equipment, cameras, and everything. All we really need is for each student to have a laptop. Because what we do is we use the Zoom platform, and Zoom recreates a classroom environment that very much mirrors the physical classroom space in terms of interactivity, plus adds all these other forms of communicating with each other that the traditional physical space cannot offer. For instance, we use a combination of the Zoom platform with the Google Drive. Now, Google Drive, we're all Google School, so everybody has access to the Google Drive. This is where we do our file sharing. Some instructors use it for just about anything. They put their syllabi up, they put their teaching materials in folders. So then we create individual folders for the students to be able to drop off their homework, their assignments, their video files. So this is what we use the Google Drive for in combination with the Zoom interactive platform. In the classroom itself, also in the virtual space, everybody connects via a link they receive via email. And then we all see each other beautifully. I can use the chat function. I use the chat function instead of the Blackboard in the physical space. So instead of getting all messy with chalk, I type my comments, my vocabulary items or spelling items, grammar items into the chat function. Everybody sees that, and then Zoom does something very beautiful. At the end of the Zoom meeting, it creates a separate file with just a chat dialogue that I then upload into the Google Drive and share it with the students. And this way, they have all the vocab they need from that class, all the comments readily, handily available in a nice document. So, plus I do. I used to be in a traditional classroom and take my iPhone and take a snapshot of what I had written on the board, because I would forget afterwards what all I had written on the board. And I wanted to include those items in, you know, tests, vocab tests, or just in structuring my teaching and learning. So now, the program does this for us. There are other ways to share, interact with each other as if it were the traditional classroom and writing on the board. And that is simply by opening up a Word document or a Google Doc and desktop sharing that with the rest of the class. Another beautiful thing that's really, really important are breakout rooms. So in a traditional language classroom, we rely heavily on partner work and small group work to enhance the amount of time students get to speak, but also for them to enhance the quality of their speaking as they're speaking. Now, in the virtual environment, I can put students into small groups, into their own virtual space, or with a partner, and I can enter that space anytime, just like I walk up to a group who works in a traditional classroom, sitting together, I can enter that space and I can see how they're doing and listen in. And if they have questions, I can answer them. And so it replicates very much that small group work environment with the advantage that it is instant, which is wonderful. There's no time lost. As a language teacher, you know how long it takes for students to get up from their chairs, grab their backpacks, fall all over everything, and then gather in a group and, you know, and then they start speaking English before they do anything else in the target language. Well, in this environment, there's no time lost. And when they speak English, all it takes is for me to pop up once and they have no warning that I'm coming, and they know right away, we better stay in the target language. This is really beautiful.
I like that.
They also do their own homework and student projects with the Zoom platform. So they connect with each other, they speak, they desktop share, they, you know, show each other video clips that they then discuss, and they record that and send that file to me. And this is basically a project. We engage them also in the shared languages program. The students also benefit from the globally connected courses element. That means that now a student from Hope College and DePauw College and Denison College can all benefit from connecting with AUBG, the American University of Bulgaria students in German. So they do their projects together too, and they use Zoom for that as well. So basically, that is the technology.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. I really enjoyed hearing about the Shared Languages program, and I'm going to put links to all the resources you sent me in the show notes so anyone listening can learn more.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for this really exciting interview.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
And let me emphasize to our listeners that they are very welcome to contact me via the information that Stacy will share with you.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
That was Gabriella Dillman, Associate Professor of German at Denison University, interviewed by Stacy Johnson for her podcast, We Teach Languages. Thanks to Stacy for a great interview and for helping us with this special crossover episode of Leading Lines. We're interested in the future of educational technology here on Leading Lines, and I think the Shared Languages program that Gabriella directs is part of that future. We know that college enrollment in the U.S. is declining, largely due to population shifts, and so small programs are likely to get smaller in the coming years. It's not going to be sustainable for every college and university to offer every academic program. I think we're going to see more of these shared courses in higher ed in the future, and not just in language departments. I think we'll see them in the humanities more generally, and in other areas too. We're going to continue exploring this possible future on Leading Lines. Our next episode looks at another shared languages program, one in which Vanderbilt participates, with an interview with Ingeborg Walther from Duke University. Check the show notes on this episode for more information on Gabriella Dillman and her work, as well as links to We Teach Languages, Stacy's excellent podcast on language learning and teaching. You can find those show notes on our website, leadinglinespod.com, where you'll also find past Leading Lines episodes with full transcripts. We're on Twitter and Facebook too. Just search for Leading Lines Podcast. And if you're a fan of Leading Lines, would you take a minute to share your favorite episode on your social media platform of choice? We would appreciate your help in getting the word out about the show. Leading Lines is produced by the Vanderbilt Center for Teaching, the Vanderbilt Institute for Digital Learning, the Office of Scholarly Communications at the Vanderbilt Libraries, and the Associate Provost for Education, Development, and Technologies. This episode was edited by Rhett McDaniel and Stacey Johnson. Look for new episodes the first and third Monday of each month. I'm your host, Derek Bruff. Thanks for listening.